godly families in a godless world or good families in a bad world. The world is not bad. It's the way you look at it. We live in a nice world. Nature is nice. The sunshine is nice. But sin has corrupted the human race. And this corruption and this moral decay we are faced with when we look into the world, when we look into the future. We live in a time where family life is threatened and pressured from all sides. Sometimes we don't even know whether we're coming or going or what is going on. We don't even know all the dangers that are out there. And we are worried about the safety of our children. In the States, there have been many school shootings in the past, and parents are very worried about the safety of their children when they bring them to school. One thing I can tell you is Satan hates children. And he wants to corrupt them. He wants to corrupt the next generation. And this is why the battle is so fierce. The battle for our children. The battle for the minds of our children. And finally also the battle for the hearts of our children. Our text says that our families, children, we're actually enrolled in the school of life. Paul writes to Timothy that in the last days, and if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days there will be perilous times. And if Paul wrote about the last days almost 2,000 years ago, we definitely live in perilous times. A lot of danger. But he reminded Timothy that he had known the Holy Scriptures. He says the Holy Scriptures. And this is what we always have to refer to the Bible. These are the Holy Scriptures. That he had known them from a very young age. And it helped him to gather the wisdom to come to salvation in Jesus Christ. It helped him, Timothy, to become godly. Now we know that Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Parents play a very, very important role in the formation of our children. The Bible gives us the rules and the school of society that we need to have as a basic guide. If we want to raise a godly family, if we want to raise good children in a bad world, we cannot ignore or neglect the Holy Scriptures. But how can we counterbalance all the evil influences of the world that is upon the families today? And a lot of things are very subtle. These are small things in schools that children have to deal with. Small comments of friends, of godless friends or fellow students, or even teachers that skillfully, they are trained often to skillfully chip away at the biblical faith and teach something other than what the Bible says. It used to be school was to learn to read and to write and to learn to do math and prepare for a career. School has become way more than that today. We live in a society where schools, the public schools, are used to push a godless philosophy. This is done secretly, in a slow pace, or sometimes very, very drastically. The story that Jesus told is a farmer planted good seed in the hope of an excellent crop. And then it says the enemy came at night and sowed bad seed. while everyone was asleep, meaning that while people did not pay attention, the enemy came and planted seed that was very destructive to the good seed. And that would diminish and often cancel out a good harvest. We read in Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared also the weeds. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where then has it the weeds?'" This is something that we ask ourselves. Where did our kids, where did the teenagers, where did they learn all this? We didn't teach them that. There's a lot of things young people learn today that we didn't teach them. But the Lord says, an enemy has done that. And we cannot diminish or dismiss the enemy that is rampant nowadays, threatening our families, threatening our young generation. And you know what? It makes me mad at Satan. Because he's stealing our young people, he's stealing our children, and we have to stand up as God's people and say, "Enough, Lord. We need to come against it and say, Lord, give us back the children. Rip them out of Satan's claws. Give us back the young people that they would fear you." See, the ultimate test is nowadays in the world. Opportunities to experiment with destructive habits and behaviors and philosophies are rampant. And I don't have to go into all the details. We blame much on peer pressure in our days, and peer pressure is very dangerous when it's the wrong kind of peer pressure. There's a story of a young man who shot people at a school, and he had been bullied. He had been made fun of. That was the reason. But the reason really was deeper than that. And I think in many ways they're trying to do the right thing by eliminating bullying as much as possible. But we live in a fallen world, and there will be people, always people, that will bully others. It will always be that way because it always has been that way. And the Bible says that in the last times it's just getting worse. Curiosity is leading to the destruction of many. And I don't believe that every teenager must and should taste the ugliness of sin first before settling down. That is not a right philosophy. I know in many circles it's just expected and basically excused. Well, teenagers, they have to kind of live out their wild oats and just kind of, there's a saying among the Amish that say, "Rumspringa." That's how they call them. They jump around for a while and then they settle down. You don't have to do that. That has nothing to do with the Bible. That has nothing to do with biblical teaching. And I think it is important that we as God's people, we expect God to work. We expect to have the victory over Satan. And then there's the test of selecting our heroes. Who are the heroes of our children? Is it Justin Bieber? Is it Madonna? Is it Magic Johnson? Is it one of the football players? One of the hockey players? Are those our heroes? You know that many of those live very immoral lives? Those are not our heroes. Jesus Christ ought to be the hero. Most and foremost, in our text we read, imposters, men given to their lusts, no self-control, boasters, disobedient, and seducers. And Paul warns Timothy, have nothing to do with that. But since you know the scriptures, you have been taught, build on what you have been taught. Don't throw away what your mother and grandmother told you, even though maybe at times you may think that's so old-fashioned. Those are such old-fashioned values. We have better and new values now. We have more knowledge today. Don't do that. If your mother and grandmother or grandparents and your parents taught you God's word, build on that. You may say, well, they weren't perfect. They made a lot of mistakes. Well, you will make mistakes too. Just wait. Nobody is perfect. But you have God's word. You see, one of the things that we discover as pastors and as theologians is that we begin an era. It's called the post-Christian era. Isn't that terrible? Post-Christian? That means we're moving beyond the era of the gospel? That's impossible. How can that be? Because other philosophies, other ideas seem to dominate society. The Bible and what the Bible teaches is suppressed. And that's very dangerous. Newsweek, a long time ago, tells a story of a little girl who saw a lighted cross with Jesus on it. She says to her mom, Mommy, what's that man doing? She had no clue what the cross meant. She had no clue what Jesus meant. Most of our children in society, they don't know. If you talk about Adam, the story of Adam and Eve, they say, who is Adam? Is that your cousin? Is that your relative? Who's Adam? Oh, no, in the Bible. And there's another man, Noah. Well, what's the difference between Adam and Noah? They don't even know the difference between Adam and Eve. No, I don't want to go into that, but I'm amazed how little young people know about the Bible. But we have hope, and that's where Sunday school comes in. That's where we encourage one another. That's where we encourage all the families. Make use of what's in the Bible. I don't have my phone with me, but when I have my phone with me, I always know I have the Bible with me too. I can read it anywhere, anytime. And not just one translation. I can read it even in Spanish if I want to, but I don't understand it. Anyway, but in German, in English, and different translations. I can look up words on my phone. You have everything at your fingertips. Loved ones, that is amazing. And if you get tempted and you have nobody else around and you have your cell phone there and you look up a scripture and you hold it to the devil and say, here, devil, this is God's word. Here it says, it is written. No, 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 Jesus said to temptation. We have great opportunities. And there's nothing that can stop us. Nobody who can stop us. And that's so wonderful. But we must never give up our responsibilities. And I want to say something that may shock you. It is not up to the school nor to the church to train up your children in the ways of the Lord. You know that? Who is supposed to train up the children in the nurturing and the fear of the Lord? Who? The church? No. Parents. Parents cannot shift that responsibility to the school or to the church. We, as parents and grandparents have the responsibility to teach the children God's word. And that's often hard. It's easier said than done. Godly instructions must be given by parents. And I know a lot of issues are going around about sex education, and I read and I agree with that in this article, these different articles, that where the effort is being made that the parents need to be the primary instructor about sex education of their children. And a lot of parents feel very uncomfortable to do that. I'd rather have the teacher explain that to you. I'd rather have somebody else explain it. No. It's a parent's responsibility. Timothy knew the scriptures from childhood. And what scriptures did he have? He didn't have the New Testament. He had the Old Testament and the Psalms and Proverbs. Verse 14 and 15, but you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. You want to become wise? Has very little to do with smart or street smart. Knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up. But wisdom, true wisdom about how to live life to the glory of God. So Timothy is urged to continue in what he had learned. Continue in these biblical principles and values that you were taught. Don't stray away from it. Don't ever label them as old-fashioned or outdated. Because those biblical, scriptural values are never outdated. The required textbook for learning wisdom is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. We must depend on the Holy Scriptures as families. We must depend upon them in our personal lives. That our struggles that we have, that we bring them to the Lord, that we trust the Lord, that we say, praise the Lord anyhow, I will trust the Lord no matter what. And as our children see in us adults and parents that we truly believe and we do everything we can to live out the biblical principles, I think there's a big chance that they too will make that decision. Will all children always make the decision to follow Christ even if they were raised in a godly home? No. Because that is a personal decision. But I think it's good that we covenant with our families that all that we do and decide is based on the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God can do more than we can imagine. Imagine this, what Paul says here, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. People doubt that today. Say, this book was written by people, right? It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration is that ruach, that Hebrew word, meaning the breath of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for all good works. That is God's goal. So in the school of life, the primary text for our children must be the inspired, God-breathed Word of God. Our children must know that all of us will be judged on the day of the Lord when the day comes. They must know that we are responsible for our actions, our words, and our attitudes. They must know that we take responsibility for our own actions, words, and attitudes. And as they see and observe us living out the scriptures, as we take responsibility, as we fear the Lord, as we allow the Lord to correct us, there is great hope that our children then can follow that. And if we have done all, stand firm. Whether the children later come to the Lord or not, or if they get sucked into something, we continue to pray for them. Because God has made a promise. And I believe this with all my heart. You know, my heart cries when I hear and observe that a lot of pastors' children are not serving the Lord. But I hold on to this one promise, and that is the Lord has said, my word shall not come back void. It will accomplish what I sent it for. Let's believe that. Let's stand on those promises and claim our children back for God, or commit them to God that they would be protected from evil. And this is what I believe is our purpose as Sunday school. Sunday school is so important to assist the families in that, to just work together with families, individual families, and that we support each other in prayer and pray for each other. May God bless you. Amen.